Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
Let's ask our next guest, who we are huge fans of over here, Willie Robertson.
No, you're not. You're not a huge fan. You're just saying that because I'm on your show.
How are you, man?
I'm doing great.
We were just talking about this, this very interesting thing about Ivanka Trump, who wore a bracelet the other night on 60 Minutes, and then they issued a style alert about it, and people are upset because they believe that the president and his family will use the office to make some money. Now, you're somebody who has done very well when it comes to making money. I don't mind this one bit. Do you?
No. I mean, to use it to make my I don't know. I thought a lot of them have done that, right?
Yeah.
I've used that. That's one thing I liked about the Trump family is that apparently they had money going in, so that made me feel a little bit more comfortable that they weren't going to use this to try to become wealthy. And I don't fault people for doing that. I mean, it's a hard job, good grief. And so to try to make money, but it seems like some of the past people have done that a little to the extreme. So I'm not aware of Bracelet Gate, but I'm sure. I'm behind on that one. I got to find out. I'll see if I can find out more about that.
I saw a quote from you, I think it was yesterday, where you said that the success of Duck Dynasty led you to believe that Trump could win this election.
Did I say that?
Well, paraphrasing. Paraphrasing, maybe.
That's brilliant.
You say a lot of things, right? Genius.
Well, I tell you what I did do when right there at the end, you know, I was watching along with everybody else, and as I saw that map laid out with all that red, I think I mentioned to my wife, I said, I see why a lot of people watch Duck Dynasty, because you see that much of the country, and I was tickled that those portions of the country's voices were able to be heard and with their vote counting. And so, I think a lot of the same people probably that watch our show probably voted for Trump, definitely the same areas. I was able to travel a little bit with Mr. Trump, and I definitely saw a lot of the fans of the show. And so, yeah, it was the heart of America speaking, and we were right there at the end waiting on the upper Midwest, and lo and behold, they went for Trump. And so I was kind of surprised as everybody else was. So,
when you traveled with him, what did you guys bond over?
Hair. What did we bond over? That's an awesome question. He always talked about the spirit of America and just how he had seen that. You know, he traveled and saw Americans more than he'd ever seen, and just the spirit of the people and their hearts. And so I could tell he was really touched by people and all these working people and people that were supporting him. And so, it was that. It was we talked a little about hunting and fishing, not as much because he does that, but he knows that Donald Trump Jr. is a big hunter. He was down at the house last year. He showed up to hunt and that hung out with us a couple of days, and they were just very normal people. I mean, they're not from kind of the neighborhoods we're from, definitely right here in New York City, but just regular folks, and we had a blast. We actually took him out hunting with Trump Jr. with my father, and my father was backing Ted Cruz, so it was super awkward. Cruz had just come into town without me knowing, and nice. They shot a commercial. And so then, and I've got Trump Jr. coming in, and I'm like, this is going to be weird. And so we talked about it. He came in, he went hunting. Well, the cat never missed. And I asked my father, I said, well, who's the better hunter, Trump Jr. or Cruz? And it was hands down Trump Jr. So he actually played a vital role in bringing my father over, was his son, through his shooting ability. So He's a great shooter. So, yeah, I mean, we share a lot in common. We're both business guys. Because that was a knock on Trump. They said, oh, he's just a reality TV guy. Now, see, that offended me.
You're offended by that.
Like, we're all idiots, you know. I'm like, it's a lot of work. You go try to make a show and have that many viewers. It's not easy.
You know who's a very good friend of this program is Matt Light of the New England Patriots.
And
he's probably listening right now, I would imagine. And I had some friends who purchased the opportunity to hang out with you guys at his auction, at his charity event, and they said that you guys are everything that you are on reality television and more, by the way.
Are those the guys that came and ate at my house?
Yes, yeah. Dave Drubner and crew?
Yeah, we were supposed to, well, we were going out to eat, and I said, nah, I'd rather just cook. And so I cooked, and holy cow, let me say this. I don't know what it is from that area. These cats ate more food than I've ever seen human beings consume. So I tried the trick of cutting a hamburger into fourths, like maybe it'll slow them down. Oh, no, it didn't slow them down. And so I cooked and cooked. Well, we had a blast. Matt Light is one of my favorite human beings on this earth, one of the funniest guys. He saw me on television the other day promoting my book, and everybody's like, Willie, you're doing such a great job, and Willie, it's great, and congratulations. Matt texted and said, Willie, your face is so big it takes up the entire screen. That was a comment he made. And I said, Matt, I texted back, that's why I'm on television, I presume. So he is a funny, funny guy. We've had a bunch of funny stories, and we were just with him at Deer Camp, and he was in the back of a truck with a leather loincloth on only and deer antlers imitating a deer that had been harvested. That's how he showed up to Deer Camp. So.
Well, Willie Robertson's book is called The American Fisherman, and it's a very interesting book. Very much about how America, whether it's business or food or whatever, how the country has been shaped by our nation's fishermen.
Oh, it has. I mean, we go back, and so it's there's a lot of history in the book, which seems boring, but it's not. History can be boring. But if you find the right stories in history, then it can be exciting. Like, and we did American Hunter, and so it was successful. In fact, the Revenant story, that movie, that story was in American Hunter. We had that story as well. So if you found the right stories, and that's what we did, we pulled out these stories that were awesome, and it was about how kind of this country was shaped. From Western expansion, you got Lewis and Clark. They ran out of food very quickly, and had it not been for fish, we may not have ever discovered the West Coast, which some people may be okay with that. But they ate so much fish that they got sick of it. George Washington was a commercial fisherman as a job. So we grew up, Phil was a commercial fisherman. So, I mean, my childhood was filled with, well, actually way more fishing than hunting. I mean, we fish for a living, so you couldn't miss. You know, if we didn't catch enough fish, then we didn't get to buy groceries. And we ate a lot of fish as well. But we just highlight these stories of a lot of presidents and famous people, and we get all the way into modern day, which it's a huge industry. There's about 35 million fishermen in America, which is way more than hunters. There's about almost 2 million duck hunters, so bigger industry, a lot more people go out and fish, and so we talk about and highlight these things, and it's a fun read, and it's kind of history, but some cool stories, stuff you probably didn't know.
I thought it was really interesting how deep sea fishing was basically born.
Right there around the turn of the century. These cats go out and they've got some lightweight tackle, and they, lo and behold, they hook like a 160-pound tuna, and so they go back and take a picture. And I've learned this, you know, when there's a contest and someone has a picture and says this is the biggest fish, it's amazing what happens. And so basically, that was the birth of. Of really sport fishing. And so, because we go back and talk about fishing for survival and commercial fishing, but then all of a sudden sport fishing is born. And even in World War II, you know, there was emergency fishing kits and all the soldiers packed. So if you got shot down, you're in a raft, you know, rather than, well, you had a few little rations, but once those ran out, you had a little kit you could fish. And so a lot of the troops were using these wherever they were stationed. They were going out and fishing. And as all these men and women start pouring back into America after World War II, fishing then became bigger and bigger as well, because they were going to fish for fun. And also, It was therapeutic, probably, just from all the things I'd seen in the war, to get out and fish. And that's why I like to fish. It's, I can get out, it's quiet, and it just kind of slows everything down. No cell phones, and that's probably what the country needs to do more of right now. Everybody just needs to go fishing, chill out.
Yeah, all right, well, the book is called The American Fisherman, and Willie Robertson, a pleasure to have you on the show, and you can come on anytime, all right?
Thank you.
All right, we'll say hi to Matt Light for you.
Do that.
All right, man. Excellent, excellent guy.
Family is just
interesting,
amazing.
Very interesting.
And they're all about family.
Yeah.
Now they haven't, you know, they're not sellouts. They use their money. They have an incredibly insane fun time. They tackle their bucket list. They meet people. They do good things.
Yeah.
You know, for the community, for people.
Yes.
It's awesome.
All right. I am not a fan.
And I bet you he doesn't use anybody else's duck call.
I'm not a fan of fishing. And people say that's because I can't catch anything. They say anybody who's not a fan of fishing is somebody who can't catch anything. But my late father, Barry Hill, loved to fish, and he used to drag us all out in the rowboat on Lake Ossipee in New Hampshire. And it was the most boring thing I ever felt like I did. I just was never into it, but people love it.
Did he have tiny little doll oars for you?
No, he did not. But we used to catch sunfish, which are the most useless fish ever. I mean, there's hardly any meat on them. And all right. Well, interesting. Keep calm and fish on. Now,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.